Good morning. This isn't for me. It is not the right place anymore. We should go somewhere else. It's the wrong music. It's not my preferred preaching style. They don't use the organ, and I can't believe these songs that they're singing. The service is too long, the service is too short, the language is hard, the people are not like me. I don't like it when people dance. I don't like it that there is no dancing. I'm just not really comfortable here. I need to change church to find one that makes me feel more comfortable. Have you ever had that kind of thought or had a conversation along those lines with people? I want to find a church that is going to fit me and make me feel comfortable. I wonder if we have embraced the culture around us, the culture of consumerism. And I wonder if we've applied that to church. You know, if we don't like our job, we change, we move houses. If I'm watching a TV show and it hasn't gotten me in about the first 10 minutes, I'll do one of two things, my wife will tell me. I'll fall asleep, or I'll just watch something else, or I'll sit on my phone and scroll. That's generally a bad thing I do. But has this consumeristic worldview come into how we view church? For the vast majority of human history, your village was your village, and that is where you went to church. When most Anglican churches were planted around Sydney, they were planted so that everyone could walk to church. And then that wonderful human invention came along called the car, and we can choose where we go to church. And does that mean then that we deal with challenges and changes when they come within the church, or do we just leave to find something more comfortable? We are coming to the end of our vision series. We have seen that God loves us, that we're called to love Him, that we serve God, we serve one another. And last week, we looked at the story of the Good Samaritan, how we are to love people, even people who are not like us and our enemies. And today we're taking the implication of God's call to love our neighbor one step further. To be people who not just love, but are willing to share discomfort. Particularly as we seek to be a multi-ethnic church, filled with people from different cultures, different ethnic backgrounds, people who generally have different preferences of what that sacred hour on a Sunday morning looks like. And so today, the challenge will be for us to understand the hard aspects of being a multi-ethnic church and to be willing to share discomfort out of love for one another. As we do this, let me pray for us this morning. Heavenly Father, as we look at your word today, make us like you, people who are willing to love, people who are willing to love even when it is hard. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen. We're going to spend the majority of our time this morning in the book of Acts as we see this fledgling young church grow and spread, impacting different groups of people. And we're going to see how the gospel goes out and grows amongst people from different ethnic backgrounds. And we're going to see if the clicky button will work. Daniel, if you can... Yeah, that's going to work now. Wonderful. First of all, we're going to see what shared discomfort looked like in Acts 6, which Kelly did a wonderful job of reading for us. And starting in Acts 6, so in Acts chapter 6, verse 1, in those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. The church was increasing, and back only two chapters earlier in chapter 4, the author Luke noted that there was not a needy person. But now, there is a challenge. This joy wouldn't last forever because the church has grown and there is conflict, which means that instead of the gospel continuing to go out, the church has to stop for a moment and look in and deal with the problem. There's some conflict. There's some discomfort between what's described here as the Jewish Christians that came from a Hellenistic background and a Hebrew background. So it's those Jewish Christians who are Greek and Israelite. They have the same religious story of being Jews and then becoming Christians, but they come from different ethnic backgrounds. Greek and Israel. Maybe they didn't speak the same language. Maybe there was racism between the two groups, with the Israelites seeing that they were the true people of God. And these two groups would have emphasized different cultural ways of doing things. And it meant that with the growth of this young church, there was discomfort and conflict. The Greek Christian widows were being overlooked. And so, verse 2, we see the solution. The 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God." The apostles decide to prioritize. There's only 12 of them, and they were trying to preach the Word of God and to take care of everyone's personal needs. But that last line seems a little harsh. "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables." It feels a little harsh, doesn't it? But this is a really important moment for the young church. If the apostles had continued to have a split focus, trying to look after people's needs and trying to preach at the same time, I wonder, would the gospel have come to this northwestern corner of Sydney? It's because there is a priority to the Word of God. We are not a group of people that gather together on a Sunday morning because we all like each other very much. We are not the United Nations. We are not a collection of individuals who just like gathering together and singing some songs and having a cup of coffee after church. We are primarily, first and foremost, people, a church who gathers around the risen Christ Jesus. And because of that, others are chosen to come in and help. Verse 3, "Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom." How important that people full of spirit and wisdom are chosen. It is no easy task to care for people, let alone 2 different groups of people with different ethnic backgrounds trying to bring unity. And so 7 Greek men are chosen, and we know they're Greek from their names. And they're ordained. Just as Josh is going to get ordained in a couple months' time, these men had hands laid on them. They were ordained for this task. Now, I don't know if that means that Josh should be in charge of all of the food. Potentially not. I don't know. I think the people in charge of food are doing a wonderful job. So that this is done so the apostles can concentrate on preaching the word. And what is the consequence? Let me read verse 7. "The word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith." The discomfort and challenges between 2 different groups of people resulted in conflict. The conflict meant that there was a church meeting, the problem was dealt with, and the church grew. We should not be surprised when people from different cultural and ethnic backgrounds come together that there is conflict. We should not be surprised when 2 people come together there is conflict, even when they are worshiping the very same Jesus. Because there's many different ways to express our worship of Jesus. There's many different music styles. There's many different challenges. And this little 7-verse story from Acts chapter 6 is significant, partly because it shows the priority of the word, but it also shows that it is worth not just pretending that everything is fine. They could have just pretended, "Oh, that's okay, don't worry, you're fine, God loves you, we can all be together." It would have resulted in much bigger conflict. Instead, the challenges are brought out into the open, and it is dealt with, and then the gospel spreads. Brothers and sisters, be willing to share discomfort. Can you imagine how hard it would have been for those Greek widows to say to the apostles, "Hey, apostles, It really feels like the women who are from your cultural group are getting more food, and we're being left out. For some of us, conflict is really hard. That would have been a painful piece of conflict to do. But instead of just one group carrying the brunt of discomfort and missing out, conflict brought resolution, and the burden is shared. The New Testament shows how the church is to be willing to share discomfort, the discomfort that comes when people are together. Okay, so that is our first piece. The second thing we're going to see is three broader examples of early church discomfort, particularly that come from what a person is to look like, a Christian's identity, and what it looks like to worship God. And we're going to start with people. Later in the book of Acts, in chapter 10, Peter has a vision. And he saw heaven opened, and something like a sheet came down, and it contained all of these animals, and a voice said, "Get up, kill, and eat." And Peter is shocked by this vision. He responds, "Surely not, Lord. I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." And you can hear Peter's shock at this. You know, God, I'm following Jesus, but I'm also a clean, religiously clean Jewish person at the same time. And God says, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. I am clean by the food I eat." But it is not that at all. It's that Peter is made clean by Jesus. And straight after this, Peter is requested to visit a Roman centurion by the name of Cornelius. And Peter goes there and he preaches and everyone is saved and the Holy Spirit is poured out on these people. And again, Peter is surprised. Verse 7 of chapter 10, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water." Now, Peter is so surprised that he's almost like, "Oh, I can't believe it. We have to baptize these people as well. Even these Roman centurions, even these Romans can be part of God's family." Peter sees God inviting all people into God's family, and he's surprised. There's a moment of discomfort. But Peter, seeing what God is doing, is able to move past it. Having Gentiles come into the family of faith was one thing, but it was a constant challenge for the early church to see them as full believers without the requirement of them becoming culturally Jewish. A key aspect is that Jesus makes us clean. It's not about the food that we eat. But for Peter to be able to say, "You are not like me, and that's okay. What is most important is Jesus," is a really important moment for this young church. We can be tempted to look down on people who are different. And on one hand, we can say, "Look, I agree, John 3:16, God so loved the whole world. I agree that Jesus is for the whole world, but I really struggle with this group of people over here. I'm not sure about these people. I don't know if they're really sincere in their faith as Christians." Now, we might not think that that really happens anymore. Racism, that's not really a thing. That was a long time ago. I've recently been reading this book here. It's called Reading While Black by a wonderful pastor, Anglican pastor by the name of Esau Macaulay, detailing the African American's journey through slavery and Christianity. It's a really interesting and helpful book. He speaks of the hard times of African American slaves only 200 years ago, where church services were held, and often throughout the year, Paul's letters were read. And when that happened, the white preacher would emphasize one aspect of Paul's letters. "Be obedient to them that are your masters unto Christ." And so they were hearing on one week that there is freedom in God and you are set free and loved by God. And then on the other week, Freedom is not actually for you. You are to do as your master tells you. What were they hearing? You are not as good as us. There needs to be some separation. You are not an equal brother or sister. There is a difference between types of Christians. Let us not be a church like that. Peter was surprised that God would invite the Gentiles into God's family, but it was only a momentary discomfort. Let us not be a church that makes a division between people, whether unintentional or intentional, but to love our neighbors as ourselves. And for some of us, that might involve questioning our view of other people and our racism that we might not want to confront. The second example in the early church is the identity of people. In Acts chapter 15, the church in Antioch, the place where Christians were first called Christians, which is Antioch is in modern-day Turkey. This is a growing and thriving church until some so-called Christians come from Jerusalem. And they say, they said, unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. You have to look like this particular Christian over here. You must do certain things, you must cut off certain things, and you must look exactly like this if you are a Christian. And so they take this back to the church in Jerusalem, and the so-called Christians are put in their place, and the Gentiles don't need to be circumcised. But this is a reminder that there can be an unwillingness to see Christians look different to how our culture expects them to look. In this case, there was a legalistic push. This is what you must look like if you are a Christian. This is an issue of identity, not skin color. If you're going to be a Christian, you have to act like this. You have to look like this. At 7:45, our earlier church service, I was talking to some people about what that used to look like in an Australian and English environment. And I heard that, I don't know how many years ago, but women would have to wear gloves to church. Does anybody remember this time? Yes? And you don't have your gloves on today? And a hat? I know. Some people are wearing hats, but I don't see many women wearing hats, actually. And so in that time, the identity marker, this is what a good Christian looked like. Gloves, hats, men were wearing ties. And now, what are we wearing? Our cultural markers have changed for what a Christian looks like. But we are very good at saying you don't look like the right type of Christian. We all have a particular view of what a good Christian looks like and what they should do with their time. It is far harder to focus on what is most important, Jesus. And let then there be a cultural flavor expressing our love of Jesus. When our identity is first found in Him, we get to express it in all kinds of different ways. And then when that happens, we need to be willing to share discomfort when that is happening in the same church. And so if you want to wear gloves next week, that's totally fine. If you want to wear a hat, that's totally fine. If you want to come to church in a suit and tie, that's wonderful. But as soon as we start saying, you must look like me, we're saying you must not look like Jesus. Okay. Third example of sharing discomfort is in worship. From Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he talks about discomfort between the growing church in Corinth. Because some people would often go to a pagan temple. Because what used to happen was, if you wanted to eat meat, you didn't go to a restaurant, there were no restaurants. What would happen is, you would go and offer sacrifices to a pagan god, and then you would be allowed to eat some of that meat. And so that was, first century Korean barbecue. That was the way you did it then. And the problem was some Christians were continuing to do that practice. But they knew that that God was not important, and so it was fine for them. But others had an issue because they thought they were still worshiping another God. And so Paul says, about eating food sacrificed to idols, we know that an idol is nothing at all in the world. The food is not the issue. It is the working out of relationships with people who look like they're worshipping another god. And we're talking about worship and we're talking about eating meat. We will come to worship and music in a moment. But worship is, of course, more than music. Paul is clear. He wants the church to be thinking about each other, to be loving each other. And so he says, verse 9, be careful that the exercise of your rights does not become a stumbling block to the weak. There is an expression of loving your neighbor. It might be fine for you to go to one of these temples and to eat meat that's offered to an idol, but beware of the impact of somebody else who might actually think it is an act of worship to that god. But Paul, so wonderful is Paul, so encouraging. He is not like us. He is a wonderful challenge for us. He is so willing to share the burden of discomfort on the issue. He says, if what I eat causes my brother or sister to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again so that I will not cause them to fall. How many of us today would put up a hand and say, amen to that? If meat is going to cause my brother or sister to fall, I will not eat it again. Anybody saying that? What if it was, you know, coffee? If coffee could, my wife's laughing at that. I don't know why. If coffee causes my brother or sister to fall, I will never drink coffee again. I still don't see any hands. What if I just said, not drinking coffee on the third Sunday of a month that has 5 weeks in it? You know, oh, I've got one hand. Okay, this is wonderful. Paul is so seeking to love his neighbor that he is willing to share discomfort. He is willing to sacrifice for the other. He says, I will change my preference. I will worship God in a way that is not my preference out of love for you. Years ago, Alyssa and I went to Nairobi. We worked at the church in Nairobi Chapel for a couple of months. And it took me ages to get comfortable there. The church services were very different. They would sing, and they would sing, and then they would sing. And all the while they were singing, they would also dance and dance. And then they would stop singing for a moment, and it would only be dancing. And if you didn't know, I'm one of the whitest men there is. And I found this incredibly uncomfortable. I found it hard. And then a couple of months later, we came back. At that time, we were at St. Paul's Castle Hill, a church with a rich history of writing songs and being a church that sings. And I was standing there thinking, why isn't anybody singing? Where's the passion? Don't they love God? Why is everybody standing so still? Where's the dancing? I couldn't understand. There are preferences and there are styles. And for both those times, going over to Nairobi and coming back, it caused discomfort. But I should not expect everybody else to worship God in the same way. So we can say, do you know what? These songs we sing at church, they are not my preference. I don't really connect with this style of music. It's not my preference. Those sermons, again, not my preference. I would much prefer to do church with a meal after it. This Western way of just having morning tea, again, it's not my preference. Paul goes over the top, saying he would far prefer to change his preference. He would change the very food he ate, lest he cause someone to stumble. For the early church to grow, the people had to be willing to see what the main game was, Jesus, and his name glorified. If the church didn't share discomfort of people of different groups, different backgrounds, and worship styles, then the church would never have spread. The love of Christ, dying for us and rising, calls us to love one another. And a key part of that is to enjoy and celebrate church, not as a consumer, but as the family of God. Now, you've had a white guy talking about people from different ethnic backgrounds long enough. We're going to welcome up Reggie. Reggie's going to come up right now. Let's welcome Reggie as he comes up. Thank you, dear brother.
Hi, James.
Reggie, come. Why don't you tell us just briefly about yourself, your family, and your family background?
Sure. So I moved to Australia with my family about 15 years ago, so 2008, June. My wife, Betsy, my two boys, Aaron and Adrian. We moved from Dubai after spending about 12 years in Dubai.
Okay.
But as a background, we come from the southernmost tip of India, which from a state called Kerala.
Okay, so you're part of the South Indian Church in Kerala?
Yes.
You've been in churches in Dubai?
Yes.
And you've been in churches in Australia, and now you're here at Life Anglican Church.
That's right.
What are some of the things you've had to be aware of as you've changed church in different cultures?
I think the number of years that we've spent overseas, I think, made us mindful of how different cultures see either somebody from India or somebody from the UK or somebody from Australia. And I think because we were aware of it, we were okay. But I think there's a lot of times we've wondered how we are seen by other cultures, what kind of traditions we have, what kind of food we eat maybe, or even what kind of worship we do at our church. So as you said a little earlier about the kind of music that's played here versus the kind of music that's played at the South Indian church, I can't say it's extremely different, but there are times where the traditional church in India follows a lot of chanting. Mm. And people just stand up and repeat after the priest or the minister, as we call it. And we don't have that here. And to be honest, I found it easier to be connecting to this church than to my own church that I grew up and my wife and I grew up with all our lives, right? So I think the challenges would be if people are not aware of, let's say they've not really seen different cultures, they will find it difficult to leave their own traditional church and assimilate into a Western church.
Mm.
So I find I'm very happy with the music here, but I've always been happy with music wherever I went. But I think it's got to do with more coming in with an open mind and being accepting to this church, and also making an effort to talk to everybody around rather than say, I will only stick to this culture or this, if I would speak to only Indians or if I would speak to only people from the Middle East, then that would be a problem even trying to assimilate into this church.
Yeah, thank you, brother. Just briefly then, you've already mentioned a couple, but what are the joys then about being here?
I think the diverse culture, I've always enjoyed meeting people from different cultures and trying to understand what everybody, how everybody sees life, right? Mm. And I think this particular church, one, because it's just in my backyard, but secondly, it has more to do with, I love meeting people here. I mean, I meet a different person almost every day, but I think it's up to us as well, coming in from a different culture and trying to assimilate into the environment. We need to make an effort rather than expect other people to come to talk to us, you know? So I just love it here. I mean, the welcoming culture we had, I think the first time I came and it was, I think, a message by Josh when he came in. I said, I sat up when he said, how have you, so let's say that the time where people have always said, God will never give you more than what you can handle. And then I sat up straight and I said, I was listening to this, you know, and then he goes, well, it's all rubbish. You know? And then he said, well, God will not give you more than what he can't handle, not more than what you can handle. And that's not something I saw in the church that I grew up in, right? It was all tradition. You would always accept what the minister or the priest said rather than question it, right? Even the children found it very difficult, particularly from a language perspective, right? And when I look at our kids, my older fellow's not here today, but it's more about trying to give them the spirit of what we're here for, right? And not just go into church and listen to a different language and not understand anything. So I think, for me, that's the joy of being in this church. We understand. We can relate to what you or Jeff or Josh speak to us every day and try to relate it to our daily lives.
Wonderful. Thank you, dear brother. Thank
that's
you,
right.
mate.
Thank you. Oh,
thank no,
you,
I'm that. I'm that. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think one of the things that Reggie just mentioned then was for people coming in from a different background, having to be aware of it. And I just want to say yes, but also for those who come from the majority culture, it is really easy to be part of the majority culture and just to expect Reggie to come in, and Reggie's wonderful, and he's got wonderful, like, he just has such a gentle, wonderful accent. I love talking to him, and just expect him to come to me. But that is expecting Reggie to share the burden of discomfort and to not bear it as a church. Okay, seeking to be a multi-ethnic church, seeking to share discomfort is not easy. It's not easy. It is much easier to be a church that fits my own preferences. Other people, if this church continues to reach out to this area over the next 10 years, this church will look different. And what is emphasized and what is celebrated will look different when we are still a Christian church, but things will look different as different people come in. And so there is a call for us to leave our comfort zones. Don't everybody go and leave your comfort zone and talk to Reggie. Don't do that this morning. He'll probably love that, actually. There might actually be many of us who have borne that challenge of discomfort to join this church. Some of us actually need to look at our cultural sin that we are not aware of or do not want to confront. But these risks transform into rewards because God uses the process to transform us from a group of people to be a united church. Just like Dan in the kids' spot before, he had a picture of a mosaic. How boring would the mosaic look if it was all one color tile? You do not get a beautiful picture unless you use different colors. And when we do this, we all flourish and we can be a church that other people come to see how much we are united around Jesus. And so therefore, brothers and sisters, let me close. When we sing a song that you don't particularly like, look around, see who else is singing it, and try and get one thing from that song about how great Jesus is. When the aspect of the church is not your preference, we can still celebrate because this is a church family. When you feel discomfort, feel that tension, but don't let that tension take you out the door. Remember the Jesus who endured much discomfort on the cross for us so that we could be part of his family. Let me lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love for us, that Jesus endured the cross to bring us into your family, a diverse family, Lord. Help us to be your family today, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.